Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So we began speaking about coming alive in the first service. Your word will remain my sign. Lose me to follow you. When visions are brought to lead, when prophecies torn after you, your word will remain my son. I lose me to follow. All right, let's continue what we're saying in the first service. So I began to speak about the aorist paracletus. And I said the para means, if you can remember, what does the para means for some of you in the first service? Alongside, the clatus means what? Calling. Hallelujah.
Glory.
All right, the para means what? Alongside. And the best description I used was what? Shadow. And the calling means what? The clatus means what? Calling. Meaning the Holy Spirit is called to be alongside with us forever.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? And I quoted 2 Timothy 2:13, how that he remains faithful in our faithlessness. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Then I remember I quoted, although I didn't quote the scripture, but I spoke about it, Luke 23:31. Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Luke 23:31. Let me read this rendition. Luke 23:31. All right, for if they do these things, am I in the right place? Give me the next part of scripture. Are you sure I'm seeing the right one? Okay, I think I'm in the wrong place. Maybe you get it from me. It's in Luke 20 something. Maybe 22:31. It says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Let me be sure. 22, right? So let me correct it here. 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may what? Sift you as wheat. Satan wanted who? Simon, Peter. Amen? So some of you are looking at me. Yes, even me, I'm sure Satan wanted me. If Satan wanted the head of the church, who was the head of the church in his days? Was it not Peter? Who wanted Satan? Who wanted Peter? It's not like Peter wanted Satan. It was Satan that wanted Peter. He saw the potency. That thing God saw, he saw. You know, God saw something that he was eyeing to make Peter the head. Satan saw it too. And I think I left people with a word one time. I said, a lot of people don't believe in themselves like Satan does. They doubt themselves, but Satan believes so much in you, he wants to take advantage of you. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Let me get this in the Amplified. Let's see if these words were more simplified there. Simon, Simon, Peter, at least there's Peter here. I'm calm now. Listen, Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. He has demanded permission. I know some of you are wondering, He can't touch you until he sees something that makes it legitimate for him to touch you. And those things are, you know, the Bible says when you break the egg, the serpent what? Strikes. There's something he sees that gives him the legitimacy to touch you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? For Judas, we said offense and the love of money. Didn't we? Offense and what? Love of money. Gave him the permission to get into Judas and do whatever he did with Judas. Are we together? Next part of scripture. Not even just Peter, everybody. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. I've prayed especially for you, Peter. Well, according to the scripture, he even wanted everybody. The 12. Those that God chose, he wanted them. You know, one of the craziest experiences as a pastor, as a Christian first, and as a pastor, is the fact that Satan wants the best. The best that God is working upon is the one Satan wants. Isn't it astonishing that Satan wants what? The best. What God wants is what Satan wants. Listen to me very carefully and attentively. I'm standing before you now, and some of you will call me a giant of faith and so on, but years ago Satan wanted me. Until today Satan wants me. And he wouldn't mind if I accept his offer today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He's still in the wanting realm. He wants me. He wants you. He wants all of us. Jesus chose 12 people. He didn't leave them. He wanted them. He knew that these ones, Jesus has special interest. God has special interest on the 12. Satan still what? Wanted them. But I've prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and your confidence in me may not fail. And you, once you have returned, you have turned back again to me, strengthen and support your brothers in the faith. So when you have turned back to me, strengthen. And it happens afterwards. I hope you know the 12 left Jesus at some point. And I hope you know Peter went back fishing. But now they were speaking about the status quo, something that was about to happen soon. And he was so sure Peter will overcome. That somehow Peter will overcome. And potentially speaking, now what did Peter have to overcome? Nothing. Nothing but the prayer of Jesus. I was meditating on this scripture one time. And I said to myself, Peter truly had nothing that would help him overcome. But what Jesus was doing for him in the secret place. But interestingly, Jesus prayed for all of them, not just Peter. Are we together? He was praying for all of them. Some of them misbehaved, like Judas and a few others. Even though their own was not unto death, like Judas's own was unto death. Are we together? But Peter overcame, and the answer is simple. If you look at all of them, if you read the story, the synoptic gospel, you'll find out that somehow we can't truly really hold a point that would paint this picture that Peter was a very humble person. But we can somehow tell that Peter was always around where Jesus is. There's hardly a place you talk about Jesus and not talk about Peter. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. You know, I heard from a leader years ago, he said the greatest people on the earth are not those that are very gifted. He said it is those that are very attentive. I'll give you another instance. If you watch in our world today, the greatest men on the earth are not those that are trying to be everywhere, even as pastors. They are those that who won't pastor and say, I'll follow you. If you watch them carefully with time, they become the talk of town than the ones that are moving around. Have you observed that? You know, one time I saw a young man who talks exactly like Apostle Joshua Selman. And I said, The first day I saw him on Facebook, I was like, Is this a replica of the apostle? Where did this one come from? Is this his junior brother or something? I was so astonished. Even the looks. I remember I started laughing. The words were too much the same. And when I watched the young man, I observed that when I heard his story one time, he said he was going to Zaria those days. We'll go there and sit down, learn for a while, come back, drink the messages. And there are a lot of people following all the great men of God in this world, listening to all their messages. He was following one man, and now he's even the talk of town more than those ones that are everywhere. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you people understanding what I'm trying to say? It's not foolishness I'm saying. Because God does not give you pastors everywhere. He gives you a pastor after his heart. And it tells you to follow. You know, one time somebody said online, he said, if you have a pastor, listen to him carefully. Even though the things sometimes may not be the things you like, they are definitely things you need. And somebody said, not this Nigeria that have a lot of fake pastors. And somebody in the comment section told him, he said, they say, if you have a pastor, look for your pastor. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Truly look for your pastor. You can't be everywhere. Look for your own pastor. And he said, listen to that pastor. They did not say follow every other pastor. Because a lot of people truly believe in Nigeria, there are a lot of fake pastors. That's their belief, even though I don't believe the same way. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are we together? And you find out those people are great. Somehow I feel that's why Peter was unique, even though the Bible does not categorically say it this way. I believe he was somebody that listened. Yesterday we were having a meeting and somebody made a point. He said, if everybody listens to prophet, we will not be in this mess. Simple. Simple. Very simple statement, yet powerful. He said, if everybody listened to prophet and do what they were supposed to do, we will not be in this mess. There was something I punished them to buy. It scattered. And the person made that statement. Very simple yet very powerful statement. Why? Because I'd always given an instruction for how that thing should be what? Handled. And here we are trying to get it again. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if I was listening to, that would have not actually happened. I was trying to come for the second service. The Lord asked me a question. He said, if you put rice in a pot and leave it for 21 years, what will happen with the rice? And I said, nothing. He said, if you leave it for 40 years, what will happen to the rice? I said, nothing. He said, what if you heat the rice without putting water? I said, it will burn. He said, what if you put water? I said, it will boil. He said, what if it dries up? I said, it will burn. So when did something start happening? I said, because fire was applied. He said, okay. He said, if you are in church for 5 years and not allowing the word of God to get to your heart, what will happen? What will happen, church? Nothing. If you are in church for 150 years and not allow the word of God to get to your heart, what will happen? What if you allow the word of God to get to your heart? Something will happen. I said something emotionally last week. I said, Paul in scripture, if he appears here, if Paul appears, leaves the cloud, goes beyond the cloud of glory and appears here now, all of us in this church will shout. You know, somebody asked a question. I was listening to Apostle Kola years ago. He said somebody asked a question because a young boy was caught up in the cloud of glory. And the boy came back and said he spoke with somebody or somebody, one of those people in the cloud of glory, witnesses. And somebody now asked the young boy, how did you know that that was Paul? Then the young boy gave an interesting answer. He said, if you encounter him, you will know. You will just know somehow. He said, I don't know how to explain. Very, very true. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Of course, no words from no being in the spirit is greater than scriptures. Whatever they say must align with scripture. Do we have cloud of witnesses? Yes, we do. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
Were they meant to be interfering in what we are doing today? No, they were not supposed to do. What are they supposed to be doing? Cheering us up. Can that happen every once in a while? Probably yes. Is that supposed to be a doctrine? No. Do you understand whatever I say right now?
Yes,
do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
very important. Is that somehow you just know that that's Paul? And I remember when Apostle Kola was saying it, I was just smiling. I said, yes. You will just know. Deep down your knower. The devil is so interested in God's people. Now, like I said, if Paul appears now and you know Paul, you will pay more attention to Paul than even me, your pastor. I'm not trying to look down on myself. Because Paul is probably like an icon for us as Christians. Even me, I'll sit down for Paul to teach me. Because of what I read about Paul, there are mind-blowing revelations. We're still trying to excavate all of them, isn't it? Huh? Not because I'm not a man of God enough, but the way I read about him, I love him so much. And blah, blah, blah. You know, one time, I was going to see a bishop in town. Firstly, I wanted to see the bishop. I didn't have access to see him. And one time, he heard it was me. And surprisingly, he already knew me. And was so excited to see me. He told people to allow me to come, give me a date. And I came the first day so excited. Gave him a gift, blah, blah, blah. And the second time, we had an appointment. I found out that I was almost running late. It was remaining small. And I told myself, no, I will not. If you say I speak that day, I said, I must not get there late. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, now you are getting familiar because I give you access. This is what kills men. I said, no. I appeared, boom, the time of the meeting. He said, you didn't come late. I didn't know he was waiting for me to come late. He said, you didn't come late. That was a statement he made. He was already seated in the office. And he didn't lose his patience because the time had not hit on the dot. Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? But immediately I got there, as I knocked the door, entered, it was 10 a.m. sharp. He said, you didn't come late. Welcome. You can sit down. Super excited. And we began to talk again. The first time, I truly wanted to see him. I was so desperate. The second time, I now felt like I've been given access. Now, it's not like I told myself this thing, no. It will just register somewhere in your unconscious. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's not that you are telling yourself, I want to start looking down. I've been given access. It will just register unconsciously in your unconscious. You find yourself behaving like that. We here now, the way we see Paul is different. The members of Paul did not see Paul the way we are seeing Paul. When Paul preached, they left what Paul said and bought into another gospel in Galatians 3. What did Paul say? Oh, ye what? Foolish Galatians. Paul was angry with his members. He called them foolish because they left what he said and listened to another preacher. Not because Paul hated the preacher, but Paul was their pastor. And they ought to have listened to their pastor. You know what it means for you to say, God led me here? That's so powerful. Can God lead you into foolishness? How can you say, God led me here and still not listen to what he led you to come and hear? Before you came, that was what people were hearing. So is God an author of confusion? First thing first, did God lead you? Yes. Then stay there. You can't try to help God. Are you listening to me? And Paul called them foolish. Who has bewitched you from the truth? Blah, 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 blah. And he still tried to prove the word. Haven't started in the spirit. You want to end in the flesh? He got offended at them. In 2 Corinthians, Paul got offended again at the church. He began to warn them. Don't think I'm a jobless man. That is why I'm a preacher. I'm trying to paraphrase. He said, I'm a Jew of the Jews. I have my green card. You guys cannot look down on me like that. Are those other people better than me? Blah, 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 blah. He said a lot of things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because he got offended at his members. But here are we today. We are honoring Paul. Like when people die. You see people say all nice things. Have you heard people talk like that before? Oh, he was a nice person. Oh, he was that. Oh, she was that. They say all the beautiful things that they never said when the person was alive. And a few years later, you see people referencing them. Oh, that guy was a great man. I tell you, if Bensi Idahusa was alive, the way we praise him in Nigeria today, we would not even praise him like that. The reason why we praise Bensi Idahusa the way we praise him, yes, he's a father of faith. He did great things for God. It is chiefly because he's late. If Bensi Idahusa was alive, some preachers would even say, I don't agree with him on Facebook. I heard one man of God saying something the other day, but I don't agree with him. Some would have said, which year, father of faith, like they are saying about some alive now. Of course, I've heard a preacher say that. He said, which year, father of faith. It's because the man is not his mate. The man started preaching before him. But he thinks he now has revelation more than the man. That is what him calling the man, yeah, father of it. Now, if that man was not alive, I don't believe he would have said that. He would have said one of our father of faith, blah, blah, blah. Because I know, especially for this man of God, that if Bensi Idahusa was alive, he would not buy into everything this man of God is saying. Imagine Bensi Idahusa is alive in this country and he hears that. he hears his statement that God does not give children. Then you think he will become. He will stand up and say there is a devil in a city. He has one suit. I'm very sure that's what he will say. Go and watch his video. You see how bold and how he condemns rubbish. Was it not during his time that Abacha wanted to misbehave? That he cleared the doubt of all of them? Somebody that can speak to government. Imagine him even in this time that they are doing Christian genocide. He's a man that hated lies. He's a prophet in Nigeria. A prophet unto Nigeria and to the nations of the earth. Are you listening to me? But because he's not alive, you see people celebrating and celebrating. And of course, he's a wonderful person. But I'm trying to say they would have not if he was alive. Some would have even been arguing with him. You know, some of you will not appreciate your father, your physical fathers, till you lose them. And I'm not praying that happens to you. That's when you begin to, you will think they are not making effort enough. Till you are in their position. You'll be like, Jesus Christ, is this our father with this? Or you buy your daughter the best thing you can buy with your man. She said, Daddy, this is rubbish. And you are like, God will punish you. I did not get this thing in my time. And you, the Holy Spirit will now remind you that your father never told you this, but you did worse. Are you listening to me? A young man one time, we're teaching, he was becoming stubborn, dear Jesus. And one time he had an experience where he saw some apostles, one or two of them, they were seated. And he heard them talking, and when they were done, they now asked for his opinion. He was so shocked about the vision. He started telling them his opinion. As he was telling them his opinion about a particular part of scriptures, he was shocked they started taking notes. And were paying very close attention. So he was like, what? What is happening? He not scared. He was so scared he woke up from the vision. When he was telling his friend said, I have a strong feeling you should tell your pastor this vision. And he came and told me. When he was saying it was so easy to understand. I said, okay, you don't listen when we talk to you. Whatever you learned from us, you went and listened to some people who you think are your icons. And when they were done, they now asked you to bring about your input. You started talking about your own, and they began to pay close attention. Now, this is what you hear that you told people, and through your mouth, they are paying what? Close attention. I said, to show you the value of what you are hearing right now and right here. He just put his hand on his head. Now, it's a sad vision because at the end of the vision, he said, sir, and finally something happened in the vision, and I found out I was not in GCMI again, and I found out that one day I was coming, trying to come and see you. As I was coming to see you, Pastor Edna told me I cannot, and one day you were passing, trying to get your car, people were trying to touch you, and while they were trying to do that, I tried to touch you, and Pastor Ed hit my hand. I said, God forbid, that will never happen to you. Of course, you know that's Pastor Ed's character. Somebody is trying to hit. He will just. What is wrong with you? Some of you that have come to the office. I know some Sundays were your worst because of what happened there. One time I was outside. I heard, you can't see prophet. I just stood up and opened my door. I said, I'm the prophet. Please come. Come and see me, please. Before they go back with that word, we went to his office. One slim guy that is like this just came out and said, you cannot see prophet. He was so angry with them. They were insisting to see. He said, I have warned you people that you can't see him now. I said, Pastor, I am the prophet. Hey, I'm so kind. Can you come? Come and see me. He got offended. I saw it on his face. He said, you can go. And he was wishing that they would come out so that he would tell them his mind. But of course, I had already... You know, some people are very stubborn. It is when they want to see you, they will see you. I want to see prophet today. Today. You are in Kabod. He is not seeing people till after Kabod. It is now. It is urgent. Open the office now. Let me see prophet. And while it's Pastor Ed, open it. I will shout in this place. And I told the young man that will not happen by God's special grace. You know, one of the greatest questions in my heart most time is how people hear prophecy and yet misbehave. Have you ever been there before? You saw people who, they even gave the prophecy themselves. In fact, they gave you a prophecy that some Satan is coming for you, but avoid Satan. Avoid Satan. Do like this and like that. Avoid Satan. Then Satan then gets them.
How does it happen? One of the greatest questions in my heart. They don't listen. They think word of knowledge is the finality of everything. Pay attention, though. Don't sleep. Look at me, everybody. They think word of knowledge is the finality of everything. I see this, I see that. That's not the finality. Word of knowledge describes. The word of God by the Spirit prescribes the solution. Are you listening to me? Word of knowledge can say, I see this happening, I see this. The prescription for a solution comes by the Spirit and the Word. God can show you a bad thing that's about to happen, but you only avoid it if you have a close walk with the Holy Spirit, who will tell you what to do. In fact, anytime you see danger at the front, amplify your closeness with the Holy Ghost, because He will always protect you from danger. So when you see a bad thing in a dream, it is not the finality of the situation. God is not saying that your father or mother or brother or sister should die. No! He is showing you so that through His Spirit He can change it with you. You are part of the equation through which this change can happen. He has made us kings and what? Priests. Are you all listening to me? God cannot do it without your faith, because the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. See what He told Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. He didn't say, Peter, I'll cast Satan. Satan wants to catch you, but I'll cast Satan. He said, Peter, Satan wants to get you, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. You see, as if he's not in the situation. What is faith? Believing God, seeing God's word, believing it, speaking it, isn't it? Peter believed the word of God. Alright? And God is like, Peter, I'm going to stay behind your faith. I'll stay behind your faith, because he's the high priest of our what? Confession. They say profession, but if you check the root word, it is what? Confession. And I say confession is the affirmation of faith. That means he's the high priest of our faith. Are you listening to me? He cannot do beyond and below your faith. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith. What protects you from every fiery dart of the devil? The shield of faith. You see that? It's your protection. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Many Satan will come to make sure that your faith fails. He will try to put you to the ground. He will try to make sure you fail every time. You are believing God for something, He will try to make sure you fail. You say, I'm above, never been it. He will try to make sure that you have been it. One time a man of God called me. He said, Simon, see what I see the devil doing. He will try to get you down. Now, you see, I'll be foolish if I tell you I didn't know Satan wanted to get me down. I knew. He said, the level, I don't know if you know, so according to him, he says, sorry, I may sound like you are ignorant, but I am sure you are not. But I want to say it according to how I'm feeling it in my spirit. He said, I don't know if you know the level of the intensity of darkness you are repelling from the city. It's as you talk to young people like this, and I watch you on Facebook, and sometimes I come to sit down and listen to you, I can tell the level of darkness you repel from the city. You repel from the life of people. He said, listen, Satan wants you down at all costs. I told him, I know, in all humility. I know. Satan wants me down. But I don't live with the consciousness that Satan wants me down 24/7. I see God's provision. That what God has for me is plentier than what Satan has against me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says, if God be for, who can be? Satan wants you down. He wanted the 12 down. Are you listening to me? And of course, he could succeed to some extent for some, but not ultimately. For us, it is easy. What was the provision for Peter and the 12 is not the same for us. It is higher for us. We have higher provision. Hallelujah. What could stop Daniel cannot stop us.
Yes, sir.
Listen, there was a prince of Persia that could stop Daniel. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? A prince of Persia, that prince could stop Daniel, not us. Because what Jesus has done for us is greater. Hey, are you here?
Yes,
there, Jesus. I wish you were getting what I'm trying to explain to you. What do you think, Prophet Simon? You think I didn't see women? Well, no matter who you are here, the access I had to women
I don't think anybody sitting here under the sound of my voice had it. In all humility. What made me to look at all these things which the world considered to be beautiful and say, Lord, no. It's not because I was the nicest human being upon the face of the earth. But like I said, if you keep rice in a pot without putting it under the fire for 3,000 years, it will still be there. I subjected myself to the word of God. You see, as little as it sounds, how do I put this for you to understand? No matter how situation plays itself around you, never stop doing spiritual activities. Even if you are doing 3 hours before, you are getting tired. Try. Drag yourself. Continue with 30 minutes. Don't stop. Are people getting what I'm trying to say? What did I say? There are some points in your work with God, right? And it's not supposed to be like that. Listen to me. If you listen to me, it's not pride. It is not supposed to be like that for you. What I wanted to say is that there are some points in your work with God that it will look as if you are dragging. You are telling God, I must try and follow you. You are crawling on the ground. If it's like that for you, you are not listening. We are the ones, Paul said something in the book of Corinthians. He said, we are dying daily for you people to live. There are some sacrifices I've paid. I'm not Jesus. Some sacrifices I've paid in my studies, in my work with God. Now, if for instance, the things I suffered before I got light, you are suffering right now, you are not wise. You are not wise. Before I got this light, I suffered. One time I was teaching people, I said, it seems as if at the point of my faith, I was crying and telling God, help me to serve you. I was crying like a child. Because I couldn't imagine myself in the gutters of sin. I said, God, please. I was crying like a child. Help me. Help me the flesh. God, God. I was crying and playing my keyboard. I want to know you. I was crying until I heard God speak to me. I heard Christ. He called it Christos. That was one of the first time I heard God speak to me. And light appeared in my front. I opened my jotter immediately. I wrote Christos. I started studying. Because I always hear people say, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I said, what is Christ? It's more like you carry banana. What is truly banana? Is it the back? Do you eat the back of banana? It's almost useless. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Although not entirely. But if you peel banana, the real banana is... When you peel it, the content inside is what you eat. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what we call banana. Jesus. Christ is encapsulated in the man Jesus. Alright? The revelation of Jesus. When you unravel Jesus, who do you get to see? Christ. Christ is the one that you get into and become a new creation. That's why in most cabal we call it the revelation of Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Now, what is the revelation of Jesus? Christ. When they say Jesus Christ, they mean Jesus the Christos. Meaning Jesus in the physical is actually the Christos in the spirit. That's why the Bible says, no, not Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus in the spirit. That is where your solution is. And 17 said, if anybody knows Christ, if anybody comes into this Christ in the spirit, Jesus in the spirit, who is Christ, what will happen? He will become a new creation. Listen and listen good. After hearing all of these things, you think Satan will not knock on the door? He will. How about me? He will. He will definitely try to knock on the door. Satan cannot see what I'm doing. Look at me. I left all my life wherever I was. I am not a poor man. I'm not still poor. If you look at me right now, do I look like a loser? Do I look like somebody that will leave this place and still not have a job that will pay me over 1.5 million, 2 million or more? If I put my head to anything, I have not died. See, I grew up, I'm not trying to be proud. I grew up singing. I grew up and I sing to steeple by God's grace. I grew up playing instrument. I can play almost all the instrument. I grew up, I can play football. There is nothing that I try to do while growing up that I cannot do. As long as I put my hand there, I will be able to do it. I'm into tech. I'm into a lot of things with one brain. If, for instance, I was not in ministry, I will never be poor. It's not right. It's fact. But I left everything. I left everything because God told me to leave. And because I find joy. I never regretted. I was telling somebody yesterday. He was saying he saw somebody who was a lieutenant. So he said, Pastor, this is who you would have been if you accepted the military. You would have probably been this rank. I said, God forbid. That was a lieutenant. Not to be proud. I said, God forbid. The Yerima we talk about, I think I wrote NDA before that young man. He was in our barracks. The one that dealt with this man, Wiki.
I told him, I said, I would not be a lieutenant. I would have been a major by now. He said, you'd have been a major? He said, what happened? I told my dad this. My dad couldn't do anything because time has passed. I said, when they gave my dad a slot for me to come into the military, I changed my institution to BSU. Nobody knew. Till after years. Because God told me to come to BSU. For your sake. I did it. I changed it. He got mad. The Oga told him, why is his name not there? Blah, 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 blah. Why did the name blah, 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 blah? My father said, you did not write the... I said, I wrote. Why did we not see your name? They did not know I've changed my institution. And I came here. So, I was supposed to school in Canada, medicine and surgery. I left. A lot of things I can mention. I did not leave those things to just come and sit down and watch people fail under me. Or come and steal people's money under me. If I wanted the money, I would have gone to get the money that way. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Like sometimes when I lead people, I tell them, if you were loving, more loving than me, God would have called you to lead these people. Sometimes when we decree judgment on a case, it's not we hating the people. If you don't follow discipline, if you don't discipline a child, the Bible says he that the father loves, he what? He chastises. A proof you love that child is discipline sometimes. You don't love that person more than me. When I tell you sit down, when I tell you from this chair, stand up and go and sit at the back, you are suspended. I don't hate you. It is because I love you that I'm saying go and sit at the back. I couldn't imagine that I'm training a pastor who is going and is not thinking rightly, for instance. Or you are a pastor, you are womanizing, for instance. You will definitely be suspended. Not because you are hated, but because you are loved greatly. And if there is a shame and a disgrace, let it follow you. It is still part. You know, there are some people that will never grow until shame and reproach come to them. There's a certain degree of growth that will happen to you when shame and reproach come. You need that pain. You need that pain. When you see somebody in pain, you're like, hey God, don't pity him. You need it. There's what Bible says, godly sorrow. It says it leads to repentance. Godly sorrow. I mean, you suspend them, they are in pain and shame, and you sleep well on your AC. Because you don't love them more than God loves them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They needed to be grown, to be built, to be strong. Talk about the man that died not so long, the ghost terror, Reverend Dr. Umar Opai. I don't know if you heard the story, how that man started. I don't think you heard this part of the story I'm about to say. He slept with a lady, according to what I heard. I don't know if she was pregnant or so, but he was suspended from the church. And he got so he got so ashamed of himself. And he ran away to an uncompleted video or something, started sleeping there and praying and crying to God to forgive him, and etc. As he was crying and praying and praying for days and weeks and etc., God encountered him. Now, what if the pastor never caught him and suspended him? Me, I will probably not suspend you from the church. I'll suspend you from your place. Lord, everybody will know that you have sinned. We probably will not announce your sin, but everybody will know that this person has done a grievous sin. I will get what I'm trying to say. I may not suspend you from the church, but you will be suspended. And before you know it, what happens? See who we are celebrating today. He's late today, we are still clapping for him. That the late Dr. Reverend Umar Okpai. How did that man, from that part of his life, grew to a point he drank poison from kidnappers? Acid? They gave him and said, he drank it. And he did not die. They ran away. You see him speak about his faith. When he talks more, he laughs. You're talking about crazy faith here. How did somebody graduate from that point of his life to this point of his life? Celebrated globally around the face of the earth. I was talking to a pastor. He said when he was going, that something happened to him. While there was anti peer pressure. So he began to watch pornography. That time it was CD. This round CD. Or is it that other one that is black? Some of you will not know that one. You know that one? That you plug it and press somewhere, remove it. If it's not coming out, you can push, remove. If it's not coming, you run to mommy market, they will lose it, remove it because the thing hook inside. You can even front, forward and backward before you put it.
Life was easy that time. And he went to buy pornography. As he was trying to buy it in the market, an assistant associate pastor came there to buy another movie. He was buying another movie. He now saw his member picking pornography. So the member picked the pornography. He now pretended he was not seeing. He picked another one. The member then looked. Nobody was seeing. He now paid and put it in his bag. Then the associate pastor just came to him. Ah, brother so-so, how are you? Say, fine. So how are you doing? Why are you in this space? I was just passing. I was not buying anything. So, okay. If you're not buying anything, why are you not in this space that they are selling good movies? Why in this place? He said, no, I just said, let me pass. Oh, nothing. He said, okay. You did not buy anything. He said, brother, so-so-and-so, I caught you. I caught you. Open the bag. He said, pastor, I swear, you know. He said, open the bag. He landed and started crying. Pastor, I'm sorry. I did not know what the devil have done to me. Blah, 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 blah. And cried. Pastor said, give me the CD. He collected the CD with the bag, carried him straight to church. Yeah, I like those guys. These days, those disciplined people are not around in churches. I mean, did you grow up where they will catch you like this and be taking you to your mother straight? You are begging everything in this world. They are still saying, follow me. Where they catch you in church, they are taking you straight to senior pastor. Sir, we call them Pluggy Mango. They are the ones that have been spoiling. Took him straight to senior pastor. Senior pastor said, brother, so-so-and-so. Is this what you have been doing all these years?
Sir, it's just today. It's my first time.
He said it was his first time.
It's my first time.
Say, you are a disgrace. As a Christian, what carried you to this movie? Let's go to that side. Light fire. Burn it. He burnt it. He says, from today, I'm going to be watching you personally. From today, your position in church has been suspended. From today, they gave him plenty query. He said the thing made him feel so bad, he decided he would become a serious Christian out of that pain. If I call the pastor's name, some of you will be shocked. He's a big pastor today in Abuja. If that thing was not addressed, maybe he would have been a porn star today. Who knows? Is that small? Are you beginning what I'm trying to say? The Bible says little foxes, but it has the potency to spoil the entire vine. Satan will not make noise from the beginning. He will start what? Small. The same 12 that God arranged for himself, Satan was interested in them. You think because you wear the mantle of a pastor, you are now special. They keep you in third heavens. You are joking. You've not started. You always hear me say this was, never allow any office get to your head. Never lied. The truth is that as we are trying, a young man was telling me yesterday, my phone experience is a funny one. My wife said I should pray. I said, for phone I should be praying. I woke up, my phone was blind. I had to trust God to somehow, through one of our guys, Matthias, get another one. I got the other one, I slept and woke up, it updated to iOS 26. I said, God, what did I do? The battery will just be draining. I said, God, how did I ask? I checked. It was me that put. I left it. I did not do it myself. It came like that. So I could not return the phone because they say you cannot bring it back, else you lose your items. Now I have to trust God to get another one. While I was on the other one, oh my God, what a journey! So when I told my wife, I said, Pastor Simon, this thing, pray. Hallelujah to Jesus. Funny situation. Let me see if you follow me. Where was I? Who was following me? What? Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Then what story was I about to say after that? No, that was not it. What was that? This man is hearing me. Now, Boa? Yes, I've finished that one. I thought I'd finish that. I was about to get into a new one. I think maybe I just felt like saying my story of the phone journey and etc., which I'm sure trying to finish up. Huh? Sorry? I'd finished that one now. Jaira is behind you. This man used to. What? Sorry? All right, let's just be talking. I remember. I think I wanted to say a story that left my head some sort of hallelujah to Jesus. What? Okay, you were saying? Okay, I appreciate all your efforts. Amen. Let's continue. Hallelujah to Jesus. I wanted to connect it to a story, but we are actually in the message. Let's continue the message. Amen. So I had a bad phone experience. That's just by the way. Hallelujah to Jesus. And God helped me. Like my wife said, she said I should pray. It's like Satan. You know, I remember it was the second day of Kabod. I prepared all my sermons. So I wanted to transfer it from my iPhone to my iPad. You just connect the hotspot and you just transfer. And as I held the phone, making a call, I just carried the phone, it's white. I say, eh? And now I hit the phone like this. Like, you know, those are old TV. I say, phone, what is happening? The phone now show black. As I hit it again, it show white. I say, this is serious. Now this is a new phone. We did not have problem with anybody. We did not vex the phone. We were in good terms with the phone. And the phone just went blank like that. I did not do the phone anything. They've never repaired that phone. When I now went to the phone market, they said it was a 13 Pro. It was a factory problem. I said, the factory should now pay for. Shouldn't the factory pay for the phone? They say it's iPhone that made the mistake. Now they now say I should change the screen for 200,000. I said, for where? But the truth is that, what will you do? If you can't change it, pray for it to come back to life. So I said, even if I'm changing this phone, I will never use this phone again. I just dropped it like that. And the young man gave me an etc. Well, what I'm trying to say, don't allow positions. Never allow positions to make you stupid. Maybe, I don't know what I wanted to say, but probably, let's say, as a pastor that I am, probably I have the privilege to say, okay, church, buy me so and so phone. And they definitely should buy for me. But I didn't use the authority because we were, not because I would have used it another time, but now that was unnecessary, number one. Number two, I truly wanted my sermon for the second day and third day, but it was not enough reason. If you observe on the second day, I just kept my iPad and I was just talking. Can you remember? I know some of you did not notice. I was talking, everything I preached on the second day was from my head. Third day too, my head. It was only first day I checked my iPad. Then the devil or phone touched the phone on the second. But was the second day powerful? Yeah. Was the third day powerful? Yeah. We give God praise. But you see, probably, what I'm trying to say is that I have the right to say, church, treasury, get me a new phone now. But I can't use the authority. Paul said, we have the authority to use, because if we really work for God in the altar, we should feed that way. Why? Because we leave every other thing to serve God. Like I was trying to give an illustration. Now, I'm not regretting any of my decision coming here to serve God. I'm trying to paint a picture like Paul did. He said, let me sound foolish for a while. So, I know for some mature people, I may be sounding foolish. But I wanted to have an idea that I didn't leave poverty to come and look for riches this way. This is not riches I'm trying to look for. If it was for money, I would not choose ministry. I know some of you are admiring me as a pastor. Ah, Prophet Simon, look at this suit. Wow. Wow, so nice. See the shoes, man. See the hair. Listen, people of God, and listen very good. I've said this and said this over and over again. While I'm eating gari, I will never look poor. It's my principle. From when I was growing up, go and check my old pictures. If you see me, I'm always looking sharp. Whether it was 10 naira that was in my pocket, you can never use my dressing to tell my account balance. It has always been my character. You can never in this world. It has always been like that with me. So this is my life. And it's supposed to be like that for every Christian. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But I'm assuring you that we did not come here for money. If it was money, we would not be here. Listen, pastoring is a very, very hard work. If you think it's a lie, go and start one in high level. Some of you that were told to start a self-fellowship, you have almost died. You have almost died. Some of you who closed the ministry. That's the proof that if you are the one that started GCMI, it would have closed. Two problems, in fact, one and a half is enough. When they say the first one, you trust God after 1 month and continue. When they begin the second one, you say, I've closed the ministry, everybody go away. Two problems, we probably end the ministry. How many of you staff sales, you started sales that have ended yet? Say amen. If not, I'll call your names. Say amen. Eh? If you have started a sale with fellowship that have ended, raise your hand. Else you come and stand there, I count five. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4. You see them? 1, 2, 3, 4. If not, they will stand there, let the whole world see them. You see? That simply means that if you were GCMI persona, it would have closed. Yeah, do you know there are some human beings that sit down and say, Professor Simon would have done it like this. You that could not start his cell and manage. You know I would have done it. Come and enter the shoe for one day and see whether you not die. It's not pride. It's a grace, a certain grace that me, self, I don't understand. I was telling pastors yesterday, I worked on impossibilities. So when I look at some things I worked upon, I used to ask myself, how did I pass? Some is just to forget it and just go and eat food. I tell you the truth. And I go back, I just get good food and I sleep, I forget about the sorrows. And the next day, I continue my life. Because what can you do? If any of you do anything in this place, can I kill you? Can I beat you? If today you go and steal somebody's phone, will I beat you? It's police that will beat you now. Will I do any? I will not join. If you do any bad thing here, can I do anything to you? What authority do I have? It's a privilege you give me to pastor you that I'm using. The Bible says no one taketh the authority upon himself like he deserves it by force. Are you get what I'm trying to say? It's a privilege, but we still understand that there's grace in this office. I tell you the truth, I never knew from the day they gave birth to me till I grew up that I can do this pastor work. If anybody told me I was going to be a pastor, I would have denied it 3 times like Peter. I never imagined. Go and ask where I grew up. My nickname was Papillo. It was football. Football, in fact, the medicine and the rest were just afterthought. My number one ambition was to be a footballer. And I have teammates today who are shining in the national team and around the world. And listen, I'm not trying to be proud. Maybe I've not said it this way like this. They were not even like us that time in this football aspect. I know you can't believe it. What is the evidence? You can't believe it. Look at, if you run, if you kick ball. Well, look at me today. I'm a pastor. In fact, those days, if you call a young man a pastor, he'll be like, it's a joke with me. You stop disgracing me. Pastor John, stop. I don't like you. Why are you insulting me? If you call somebody pastor, it's as if you are mocking him. There was a young man that time that used to preach with his father in the barrack. He will wear clean trousers. Do not iron it. Ghetto will be showing. Deeper lifer. Him and his father will hold Bible in the barrack and they'll be going from house to house. We used to feel pity for that boy. When we are going to play ball, we'll be like, hey, boy, this is so far. Hey, somewhere. How far? Go play ball. You know, if you play ball, they're going to beat you. Boo boo boy. We'll be laughing at him. As it was like he was in misery. Anybody that will be subject, we know that any young man that wears ghetto trouser, iron shirt like that, the father used to beat them. We just feel like their name used to be Junior. The father would beat them. They don't have liberty. Because every young man would have wanted to wear FUBU. You remember? FUBU used to reign that time. You know FUBU just came back. There was FUBU that time. I don't know if they still call it FUBU now. Baggy. Gen Z calls it baggy. Our generation, they used to call it FUBU. They now repackage it to you people as baggy. That time, if you wear pencil, they will laugh at you. Remember that jeans that will fold, that pencil jeans that time? Can you people remember that jeans? I wore that jeans in my primary 5 class, but they laughed at me. They were laughing at me. I ran back and changed it. When I was growing up and I saw that it was raining again, I said, God, which kind of fashion is happening in this world? People started wearing that same jeans. Everybody who won't have their normal jeans will carry it to the tailor to go and reduce it. To that jeans that they were laughing at people. If you follow people, you will not wear any clothes in this world. The way fashion used to move, change. Hallelujah to Jesus. We thought that baggy was the way of dressing that time, we would laugh at this boy. But today, as a pastor, I can tell that boy had a good foundation. And beyond all of us, if he wanted to be a doctor, he would have been far. Because he's had a father that knew what he was going to. And that boy, I'm sure, will be carrying first in his class. I think that boy was even carrying first in our school. First. How will we not carry first? We will finish play books straight to football field. Everything will fly. Everything will fly. Then I will finish straight to Bible. After Bible, the father will follow him and do assignment. I don't want to talk anything about my father in this place. Hallelujah to Jesus. Then they will not tell him to pray in tongues. All the things he learns will not arrange in his head. We that time it was bo everywhere. Now that guy would have been a PhD. Maybe he's working towards his PhD now. I don't know where he is, but we just know that he was a very focused young man. I said that boy played football only once in his life, maybe when the father went for operation. Then he now left the cave and ran and played football once and went back to the cave. Else he was never interested in anything we're doing. He just didn't like it by default. What am I trying to say? I didn't leave all of those things to come and make people deceive, blah blah blah. Listen, all of you here, you know I'm not saying that you're not giving me money one day. But right now it's obvious you cannot give me money that I want. You can't. Can you? No, you can't. It's not pride. I'm not insulting you. I know you will grow to the point. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So I'm not pastoring you for your money. I'm pastoring you for because of my love for Jesus. The Bible said Peter answered Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I do. He said, feed my sheep. He said, do you love? Are you sure you really love me? He said, feed my sheep. He thought it would be another responsibility. He said, finally, Peter, you sure you really love me? He said, yes, sir. He said, feed my sheep. 3 times. Because you can only do through pastoring out of your love for God. Not even your love for people yet. It is your love for God that will make you to genuinely love people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Are you listening to me? My point is learn to listen. I'm trying to explain this thing so that you will listen because we are pastoring you from the depth of our hearts. Data is cheap. Don't sit down. Somebody is telling you not to sit in a local church. If you pay attention, like I was giving an instance, look at Timothy. Yesterday I was sharing with leaders. Have you heard anybody looking for mantle of Timothy? Because they think Timothy is not a strong man of God. Go and read the Bible carefully and see what Timothy did. Somebody that Paul can call and appreciate. Timothy, my choicest son. Paul calls you choicest son. I don't know how to explain this thing to you guys. Paul that will stand up and say, I'm going to Libya. They will say no air flight. You say no problem. We'll be trekking anywhere we sleep. We preach there. That kind of human being. That he will hear that there's beasts in this bush. He will say we'll still follow the bush. We'll have to reach those people. Forget about the beasts. And when the beasts appear, they will say, okay, let's fight. He said, I fought with the beasts in the city of Ephesus. That kind of person, when he heard that there's bandits on the road, he will still tell you to come to Abuja, follow bush and bend at the back of the bandits and still come. That kind of person, that is why Denmark, one of his sons, Denmark, he ran away. Can you remember? He said, Denmark has betrayed me. That's what he said. He said, Denmark has betrayed me. He said, for the love of the world, he forsake me. What was the love of the world? Denmark decided to leave Paul and go and embrace what his father and mother wanted. He said, Denmark betrayed me. But Timothy, he now said, Timothy, my choicest son. Meaning Timothy did almost, even in prison, Timothy came. Master, I found a way to reach you in prison. I went beyond all of those bandits and etc. And here am I. I can never leave you. We are in this together. Timothy is strong and a powerful man of God. I don't get what I'm trying to say. But you see why men of God are not saying, I give you the mantle of Timothy. They rather say Elijah. Because they think Elijah did mightier things. But Timothy was in a church. They were controlling him. Do this. Paul would say, he was a bishop at a very young age. Controlling other pastors. Anyway, I was telling leaders yesterday, Paul would tell Timothy, go to Maiduguri. When you plant 2 churches there, put 2 pastors there. That's how the letter goes. From Maiduguri, go to Bauchi. Before you get to Bauchi, there's a village, blah, 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 that is close to one bandit area. Make sure you don't get to the bandit. Raise a church there. Plant a pastor. Follow their back. Get to Bauchi. See the kind of risks. He said, in doing these things, you become a good minister of the gospel. notice a powerful thing. As Pastor Edna is the HOD of a certain department, he's making sure that what the Lord gave us through the man of God, the said man of God, is getting to the heart of people. He's coordinating them, supervising them. It looks like a small job, but it's a big job, because we're talking about souls here. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, it's impossible. If you do this thing, it makes you a good minister of the gospel. Not names. Today, everybody wants to be on Facebook. It's not bad to be popular. But everybody wants to just put that on Facebook, put this thing and begin to say things. They don't have people they are raising. The people doing the most expensive, the biggest job in the kingdom are the ones discipling people. Forget about the noise. That's why there's a man of God I truly respect. The man of God, Billy Akanin. You see that it is discipleship. He does not care about this popularity. He's raising people everywhere. You pass one year, they'll say there's a discipleship school. Yeah, I'll be discipleship. Everything is about discipleship. Because Christians are not the ones that just come to church and shout hallelujah. They are the ones that their lives have been completely what? Transformed. If it is not transformed, you will misbehave. The Lord asked me a question again when I was preparing to come here. He said, son, when you put water in rice, alright, how did he put, okay, so when you cook rice, it's boiled, right, and you eat, and the next day you don't warm the rice, what happens? I said, it begins to smell. He said, what happens the next day? It smells even worse. What happens the next day? It smells even worse. He said, because somebody was not managing it properly. The person would have actually warmed the rice, and it would not smell. Or store it in the fridge, it will not smell, right? I said, yes. He said, that's what happens to people that don't listen. That think they can manage their own life. That don't want to be pastored. They give you instruction, you don't listen. A point comes, you begin to decay, small, you don't know. And when you begin when the rice begins to spoil, what will happen? It will smell. A point will come, you begin to smell, your character will be smelling. Because you were not listening at the beginning. You think every pastor that is a thief today registered to be a thief at the beginning. Say, God, as you are calling me, I will just become a thief. They did not. He started small. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Not paying attention to details. And it grew. Before you know, they started choking hand in the treasury like Judas. Stealing small. At the point, they will now start teaching the members in a way that they can steal from the members. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Before finally, they become thieves. Now, if you are stealing and Satan condemn you that you are a thief, the next thing is humanizing. That is why any pastor you catch who is a thief will be humanizing. Because they feel in their heart that they are condemned already. Satan will tell them they are condemned. Are you all listening to me tonight? In this church, there is no place for that. I've told you people on Tuesday, the world is watching me. I am not scared. Huh? To see somebody who is imperfect misbehave in this church, I am not scared. Let the world know that it's GCMI member. It does not worry me. That's my job as a pastor. I'm supposed to arrange people that are not arranged. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus said, I came for the sick. Somebody misbehave in this church, I will never hide it. God forbid, but I hear that somebody is pregnant. You will keep that pregnancy. You will come and sit in the front. We'll be videoing you, no problem. So you give birth to that child. Now, did I want that to happen? No. It happens. Will I push you? Never. Will I discipline you? Yes. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? I will. I'm saying this to make people understand that in this church, position does not make you special. Yes, there's honor that is given to whom honor is due. But the day I hear that somebody in the place of authority misbehave, you will be relegated immediately. No kululu, no kalala. You'll be relegated immediately, and if all the shame will come to me, let it come to me. I care less. You must do what is right. There are no two ways about it. I agree, in a military environment, I was trained that way. I tell you the truth. If you don't make sure people do the right things, you will see them doing rubbish. Anything that comes to their mind, they'll do it. The military is made up of Muslim, Christian, traditional worshippers, and etc. But they all obey others. They did not burn you well for your God to tell you not to obey another. They did not burn you well. You obey before you go and listen to Amadioa. Or to wherever you think you are worshipping. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If there's no order in a place, things will be anyhow. And if you are not human beings, they want to do anything that comes to their mind. To their own destruction personally, like the children of Israel. As they began to worship idol, was it not to their destruction? Moses told them to do this. They were angry with Moses. Sometimes pastors would tell you what you are angry about.
They'll tell you, don't do this, do this. You may be angry, but that's what you need. And if you are not careful, you want to worship the idol of your heart, it will destroy you finally. Any pastor in this world that looks at your sin, looks at your mistake and says, okay, because he's scared of losing you, is a very foolish pastor, and he will suffer the consequences of his decision. Tomorrow, you will not only disgrace the pastor, you will scatter the church. The church will be scattered into pieces. See, it was the same Paul who preached grace that said, take these two brothers outside, let Satan feed on their flesh. It was an allegory to mean that let them be destroyed to what the path they've chosen. Because you are not listening. Is Paul praying ultimately that they should be destroyed? No. I'm sure Paul wants them to come back. But at the status quo, let them go since they are not listening. It is still part of discipline. It's painful as a leader to make such a decision, but you have to make it. You know, sometimes you think leaders are not emotional. You see a leader just say, everybody cut off from that person. He doesn't have a heart. He just came and said, everybody should cut off. Is he hating the people? Maybe he does not know love. I think we need to preach love to this leader. You don't know how many hours the leader sat down, weighed all the options, weighed everything, and he said, the best way for this to be okay is this decision. It takes 2 seconds to make a decision. To declare this a decision that has been made for over 3 days, 1 month. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Maybe you took like 2 years, self, to be thinking, 1 month to be thinking, and it just takes like 3 seconds or less to just say, okay, this is how it should happen. It doesn't mean that at that point you are saying it was the time you were thinking. And why I connected my upbringing to this is that there is no way we would have left all these things, sacrificed all of these things to come and raise people from a lot of emotions, a lot of sacrifice, and just hate on them just immediately. It's not possible. It takes so much to make some kind of hard decisions, some kind of tough decisions as leaders. But you have to make it anyways. If this ministry must get to the next level of glory, I know Satan will try. Like I started by saying, Satan tried with Jesus, he will try. If he tried with Jesus' members, no Satan, no devil can steal them from my hand. And that's why, as we're entering 2026, we invest more on the word. Like I've been telling you to this, invest more on the word. Are you listening to me? Systems that get the word. You see, when you read the parable of the seed and the sower, it was less than 5% that received the word and it produced. The Bible is not saying that that's how it will be in the whole world. The Bible is trying to make us understand that I believe God is giving us this database or this wisdom so that we learn how to pastor people. To create an environment that will make sure people listen to the word of God and they are able to be disciples so that they don't end up as mental assenters. Those who hear the word of God, they are excited at the moment, and after a while, when trials come and persecution, they just get shut down. Are you listening to me? So you got to wake up, all of you leaders. All of you members, you got to wake up. Leadership is not being emotional. See, the Lord told me 3 days back or 4 days back, I was meditating. He said, Simon, he said, I called you in Kaduna years ago when nobody who you know today in this town knew you. I said, yes. He said, can you remember the days how you prayed for that person, how you prophesied? I started remembering all the miracles I did at 16, 17, 18 when I did not know anybody sitting here today. He was taking me through the journey, how I grew and I grew and I grew and I grew. And he told me, son, never doubt yourself because of a situation. Because when I called you, nobody that you know today even knew you. And that is when I affirmed you. And that's when my hand came upon you. So I told the Lord, my response was this, no situation will make me have an alteration about my identity. No situation. You know what I'm trying to say? That nobody's living or coming makes me excited. If you have been in this church for so long, you understand what I'm trying to say. I've never had sleepless night because of money. I've never had sleepless night because of money. I was telling my wife about somebody, God bless him, want to so blah, 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 blah. Till today, we did not remind till today. After service, he came to remind me that about the money. I said, if you want to so, don't come and be telling me you want to so. All those things are not necessary. I will never call for the money. I will never ask you for the money. I have never sat down and said, who can give me money? Mm-mm. Never in my life. You must have some dignity as a leader. How can we say you are a pastor, you are begging members money? You have disgraced the kingdom.
of course, I've taught you people here, it's a Sunday morning, but I'm still going to say it. Any pastor that calls you to borrow money, insult the pastor. Say, God punish you. In this church. Listen to me, oh, I'm saying it to the whole world to hear. Any pastor borrow me, say, God will punish you. It's not a sin from Prophet Simon. Before you report, that is if you care to report. Never try it. I'm not raising bastards. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
I'm not. I'm saying this in all humility. Even though I sound tough. Don't disgrace the kingdom. I told you people I drank well water. You think I'm stupid for drinking well water? I drank well water for more than 1 month because I couldn't say, come and buy me pure water. We have people today who don't understand hardship of ministry. Paul told Timothy, he said, come and endure my own share of your suffering. My own share, not Timothy's share. He said, come, let me fetch for you suffering. Today, you want to just have everything figured out, everything arranged. Somebody is soaking Gary, is saying, God is not faithful. Are you okay? You know what Gary is? It is a present help in times of need. Who here has Gary made a way for you somehow? Just give God praise. See, it's not, we're not trying to explore poverty or glorify God. Poverty. No! Paul said, having what to eat and drink, celebrate God and move on. Are we saying that you should just stop at being poor? No! But godliness with what? What is it? Am I a fool to drink well water for 1 month? Or more? The day my boy caught me, he started crying. When he was crying, I closed my door and locked it and entered inside. He cried and he was done. He started knocking. I said, are you done crying? He entered inside and knelt down, sir, why would you do such a thing? We are here. We will buy you anything you want. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I could not ask. Firstly, I apologized because he had drank the well water several times. He didn't know. And listen, I did not feel bad because I used to put chlorine. I will boil it and I will now sieve it. Then I will put it inside my small fridge. You will drink it like it's better than pure water. But where did I fetch it? From the well. It was the day they caught me boiling that everything scattered. He says, sir, you did not tell us this. How can you be here? Blah, blah, blah. Well, I know the devil. All right, boys, buy me pure water. When they are done buying the pure water, they will sit at home. When we need pure water, we'll ask God to give us. When prophet need pure water, he will say we should buy. One preacher will not say it on TV, for instance. Satan will start moving in their hearts. Give no place for Satan. Are you listening to me? Give no place for Satan. It is stupid pastors that behave like that. Suffering is part of the call. Are you listening to me? It is part of the call. Suffering is part. My wife is here. I have told her several, if I cannot do it, nobody in this world will make me do it. She's here. She don't bother me. She have learnt it. Only my look tells her what is available. Pastor Simon. Okay, I understand. She has gone. Pastor Simon. Okay. This is better today. Are you listening to me? Ultimately, we know the end. We can never be poor at the end. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. Don't rubbish the end by some stupid mistake in the middle now. Else you die in the wilderness. You left Egypt, you served God for a long time. You started misbehaving at the middle of the journey. Because of what? If you read the Bible in the books of Matthew 13, there are three things that made people to misbehave. Three things. The parable of the seed and sower in the book of Matthew 13. Number one, it was those that heard the word were excited and after a while, they drift away. Number two, those that heard the word and after a while, was it pressures of life made them to what? Drift away. Number three, those that heard the word of God, and I was so shocked, the Bible categorized this one differently. He said the pleasures of this word are mammon. Money pierced their soul. And the word of God could not be fruitful. I've seen people who their phone screen broke, they didn't come to church. They were just going home, their iPhone 13, the screen just fell down. The screen just broke. And I was coming back from church. If God is alive, why did my phone break when I'm coming back from Tuesday service? And pastor declared it's a new beginning. Is the word of God truly working in this church? How is it a new beginning? Let me tell you something. You cannot be walking in the wrong direction, come to church, and receive capacity to keep on walking in the wrong direction. One thing God will do to you is that if you are in the wrong direction, if he wants to help you, he will alter that direction. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that you start walking. I'm not saying it's God that broke your phone. No. That's not what I'm trying to say. This one is a new example. There are some people now, you are following men. You are following men. You know you can be coming to church and be following men. For money. Or be misbehaving. What I mean is that you are a Glory Choir member and you tell a man, send your account. I don't like you, but whatever you can send, I will appreciate for Christmas. You can be that foolish. That you are a Christian and you are telling a man, what do you have for me for Christmas? If you are like that, you are not this our member. You are about to be a member. We don't know you. Not even God knows you in this ministry. You are not. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. People are like that, filled with the Holy Ghost. No contentment. Begging boys everywhere online. They say, hi, you said my gas are finished. How is your day going bad? Why? I've not subscribed for 2 weeks. And everybody that comes close to you run away. And some that will not run away will want to take advantage of you. Behave like that. Are you listening to me? As a lady, there's dignity in labor. Walk. Walk. I was talking to my friend one day. They were talking to a lady, just hyping her. She started laughing. Fine girl. One old man. Fine girl. Any small to the man talk. I said, see this mumu. I did not know when I said that. I said, this is how it starts. Any small hype. See how you are fine. See how it's Look at the rubbish. You are seeing Satan. You are laughing. Satan is making you happy. Satan's joke is exciting. You are talking to a boy. He said, if I kiss you, he said, hey, don't try. Stop doing that thing. I'm a Christian. Rubbish. So the way you look, it's as if I should just come and give you babies. You're so funny. You're so funny. You know, say, how was your day? You allow the joke pass like that. When I was growing up, my spiritual father told me that they were in an event. They were saying some of his guys that they play instrument together were saying some stupid things. Then he now said, he now looked at them. He boned his face. He now told them, what you people are doing are wrong. They got so offended that they didn't want him to play with them. But they could not because he was the keyboardist. So he still played. After they finished, he did not even care about the money. He just left them and walked away. He said, he's telling us because we should learn something. Whenever people are doing evil, show them you are not among the evil. I was about to write my exam, my last paper in BSU. One of the lady I'm very close to, not very, very close, but quite close. Very beautiful lady. I don't know what entered her that morning. I don't know that's how she used to be. Maybe she was just pretending all this while. We just sat. We didn't really see. She was just by the side. So some people were greeting me. And one of the lady came to greet her, one of her friends. And while we were reading, you know when you are reading before you enter the exam hall. The lady just came and they just, you know how ladies behave now. All these unnecessary, whatever play they'll play. And before you know, he said, I see you as if I should marry you. And now said one very dirty thing. That suggests that they are, lesbians. And when she said it, people around say, I did not call her. And they say, you see this, your stupid joke. They laugh. She now said, who Pastor Simon did not hear me? Oh. And then I said, I heard you and I'm very disappointed. And I went to another place and I sat down. She came and was apologizing. I told her, you can't be. It's not about you are with me. So people should not be suspecting me. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? I said, as a child of God, you can. And she goes to church. She has a church. Very committed to the church. I said, you can't be giving people that kind of idea about Christianity. You can't be talking like that. And what pained me was because we spoke about a situation before that time, about marriage. And it was not justifiable that the man behaved like that. But after seeing that behavior, could we now say, thank God the man did not even marry? I had to bring it up. I said, look at this kind of misbehavior. See, the picture is painting.
And I'm not saying it's in a joke way, like the very vulgar way she said the thing. Very dirty way. There are some people that hide their Christianity. Even their WhatsApp, nobody knows they are Christians. You are ashamed of Jesus. He said, if you are ashamed of me, I'll be what? Ashamed of you also. Me, ashamed of Jesus. If you will not love me for Jesus, let's not know ourselves from the beginning. But Jesus, I will paint him everywhere. Paint him everywhere in my house. Yesterday, I was sitting at Tito because of that, my phone issue. A young boy came. He said to me, over 12 or 10, I almost cried. He said, can I talk to you people about Jesus? I said, what did you say? He said, can I talk to you people about Jesus? I kept whatever I was holding. I said, please, go ahead. I didn't allow the guy to answer for us. I said, go ahead. He started talking. When he was done, he said, can I pray? I said, pray. He prayed and declared words. I put my hand on my head. I said, I thought I started early at 16. See somebody preaching at 10. I said, how old is it? 10. I said, dear Jesus. I said, my own will start preaching at 3. That was so powerful. It got into my mind. I was just thinking about it almost all night long. I asked him what church. He mentioned his church. He said his father is from Dunamis, something like that. I was so excited for them. Hallelujah to Jesus. Paint Jesus everywhere. Paint it in the life of your children. Don't make some kind of grievous mistakes. You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. At 21, 25, 23, you are still making this mistake. 27, 28, you have already reached 30. You still want to go to a boy's house and stay? Because of Christmas hair? When will you be wise? When will you have sense? Don't allow some things bother you. You cannot eat all the... You can't go to Kilimanjaro. Don't make it look like a problem. See, when you start thinking, oh God, help me to go to Kilimanjaro one day. You are a foolish Christian. Satan will take advantage of that. You now bring men that will be calling Kilimanjaro, Kilimanjaro, Kilimanjaro. Kilimanjaro, don't come, my God. I never go, God. Send me somebody to take me there. Since they started that thing, I always used to see it when I drive. I have never stepped my leg there. Where is, I'm still faithful to Tito Gates. Very faithful to them. If I want to take yoga, I'll just enter, carry and go. Very faithful. Some of you that always have relationship problem, that's how we used to know. You are faithful to this customer, another one come, you have changed. Before you know, you have come back, their food no sweet. Don't worry, I'm not trying to talk down Kilimanjaro. I'm very sure some of you will come back. I say the devil we know is better than the angel we don't know. Are you all listening to me? Be excited. Love yourself. Be happy. Have peace. Jesus said, I've given you peace. Peace not as the world knows, peace. Are you all listening to me? Be happy. Be excited. Be satisfied. Don't sit down and say, God. You know, sometimes even block some kind of... They are saying rubbish. One time I was online, I blocked the man. He said, if you want to marry a woman, go and check her root. Check where she came from. Should, in case you don't like fat women, go and check her great-grandmother. I said, which kind of stupid preaching is this? God told you, marry this woman. You start saying, let me see your great-grandmother picture. Maybe you are the one that will take her fatness. Let me see your mother's picture. What kind of rubbish preaching is that? Marriage in the flesh. That's why we're having all the problem. Beyonce married Jay-Z. What happened? Who have not married who is in their heart? They'll say tall down. They've married all the tall down. Have they not divorced? What makes marriage work? Is it all those rubbish? Hold your wife well and love your wife. Oh. There is nothing beautiful out there. It is not all that glitters that is good. One day I sat down and was meditating, and the Lord was speaking to me, not for myself, for you people. He said to me, who laughed there? For the people, not for me, for the masses. He said, son, you sometimes young men, some of these young brothers, for instance, they will seem to be thinking of tall, this, that, watch TV and see everything, blah, 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 all the man made, whatsoever. And they'll say, Kai, I take marriage, this is my wife. With what I've seen out there. Sometimes this stupid thought, like I was speaking to one of my friends in Jones, it comes to the heart of young men. One day God will not allow you to see the character of the one you are wishing to marry.
When God allows you to see, you just go back home and kneel down and raise your hand and start special number to heaven. Oh Lord my God. Because you have seen, you know, some of you think you are in a mistake because you have not seen what God delivered you from. You don't know what you have till you what? Missy. See my wife. Me, I don't used to joke with my wife. Oh. My sugar pie. My lily in the valleys. I don't used to joke with my Fanta. Or Robo Fanta. I don't used to joke with her. That was the best name I could get that time. What are my fruit juice? My orange juice, yes. That was one of my name that I caught from the Rams. Orange juice. If you are here, you are calling your wife by her name, there is a problem, an attack on your soul. Yesterday, before we slept, she was in the room. I said, baby, this is a baby. And she then kissed me. I said, oh, that's good. Glory. I said, receive the anointing. Receive the anointing. It should be fresh every morning, the love. Yeah, I gave her the anointing. How can you do that to a prophet of God? So I said, you blessed, take it. In the name of Jesus. She said, take it. I said, woof, take it back. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. The love is fresh every morning. Consciously walk towards it being fresh. Huh? Are you listening to me? Walk it out. Walk it out. See, now we play, me and my wife. Sometimes we sit down, we play, gist about your problems, and go and sleep. Especially your problems, that's our number one gist. What of this person? I think that person is because of the devil is trying to work on him. But you see, we are praying for, we now hold our hands, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray for this person. Let Satan not take a hold of him. That's why you see that you misbehave, and one day you now say, I think I should change. What's in this misbehavior? It's our prayer. It's our prayer. It's Mama Tida is mentioning your name. Then Shekinah Ma will be mentioning your name. You know, when she grew now, the other day they saw her walking. My father last said, this is me she's copying. He just caught it because he has caught me praying like that several times. How bad will it be that Shekinah is hearing me say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we cut your chair from that damn cell. Let him not make a mistake. And one day she will come to church. She'll not hear Oche say, Oche, my father is praying for you. My father used to call your name. I hope that damn cell did not catch you. Then Shekinah, come, tell me what your father used to. My father used to pray that he rebukes that spirit, that damn cell. Say, no, see, that's the damn cell. Run away from her. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you all blessed tonight? So please listen. I use this message to explain a lot of things. But ultimately I've told you the truth. Alright? That's why sometimes when I come, this painting of, yes, money will come at the end. I don't paint. Christianity is not a means to making money. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
God will give you money, but not the way some of you are thinking about it. The land flowing with milk and honey. Milk is processed. You give cow food for several months before it's able to produce milk over 3 months. What of honey? If you don't want honey to sting you, you trust God for a technology to remove the bees and get the honey. So you must be tactical in your thinking and you must be hardworking and patient. That's why the Bible says those who through faith and patient word obtain the promise. It's not automatically you just think everything will come. You have to tax your mind, tax your brain. Are you listening to me? And the Lord is giving you the ability to be able to enter into your promised land in the name of Jesus. He'll give you ideas. He'll tell you what to do. And by God's special grace, you'll enter into the glory of finances in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you been blessed?
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com.
Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.